This morning's second public reading comes from John chapter 18. We will be finishing up, wrapping up this 18th chapter. And we're going to pick up in verse 25, beloved. Verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose heir Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Talk about an eyewitness. Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. Notice these rascals. Now that dawn is approaching, again, no trial was to be held at night. This was the tradition of the Jews going way back. So they violated that. But now they can see the dawn arriving, and now they're concerned. They don't want to be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Isn't that amazing? They didn't mind breaking their tradition by judging Jesus, but you better be in good shape when it comes to the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. That would have meant being stoned. And the prophecy was, not one bone of his body was to be broke. Notice that. Notice how God's providence is being worked here. The Jews therefore said unto him, It's not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. He was to die by being lifted up in crucifixion. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee of me? I find that just, it's almost divine comedy. Jesus throws those words back at Pilate. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And beloved, that is so important what he said. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, and beloved, this question has echoed down the years, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom, that I should release unto you at the Passover, one unto you at the Passover. Will ye therefore I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Please be seated. Oh, beloved, there's so much here. Now, there are those today who, there are two main teachings about the kingdom of God. You got the Roman Catholic understanding of the kingdom of God. When a Roman Catholic speaks about the kingdom of God, or when a priest makes reference to the kingdom of God, or when the Pope makes a reference to God's kingdom, they're not talking about anything that's spiritual. They're talking about something that you can see and touch and feel. Meaning something that's on the earth right now. In Catholic teaching, when you look at St. Peter's Basilica, and you see the Pope on the balcony, And you see tens of thousands in that big wide open plaza looking up at him. And when you look at all the Catholic churches across the entire globe, you see the nuns, the priests, the bishops, the archbishops, the monks, the monastery. What, in the minds of a Catholic, that's the kingdom of God. It is something that you can perceive. It is something you can touch. It's something you can hear. It's something you can handle. It's earthly. It's physical. And it's in place. The non-Catholic view is that the kingdom of God is spiritual. It does not manifest itself in buildings, skyscrapers, denominational headquarters, Gothic cathedrals, even a church building where people meet. Notice what Jesus said in that verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. Now, I mentioned before, there's roughly five words in the Greek language that's used in the New Testament that is translated world in the King James. Other translations will have the word sometimes age. And that's exactly the Greek word that is used here in verse 36. And so a pastor's responsibility is not only to pull out of the scriptures what is there, there's times and seasons when he has to define what these words mean. My kingdom is not of this age, not of the world. Jesus is telling Pilate, my kingdom is not of the spirit of this age. It's not the age of lawlessness. It's not the age of devils and demons. It's not the age of darkness and despair and corruption and sin. That's the word that he's using. My kingdom is not of this worldly system, what all the things that you see to amuse and to attract the sinners to their own demise. That's the word. That's the concept that he's pulling. He's not saying my kingdom is not of this earthly planet. The kingdom is all around us. Matter of fact, on another occasion when Jesus healed in front of the religious leaders, and they still found it very impossible to believe that he was God in the flesh, Jesus says, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, as I perform these miracles in your sight, in your hearing, that you cannot dismiss, you may attribute my powers to witchcraft, to Satan, but you cannot deny what you see. The dead raised, the lepers are cleansed, the paralytic is able to jump and skip, okay? The one who is dumb, his vocal cords are loose and now he speaks. You can't deny that. You may attribute it to the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus says, if I do all these things, then the kingdom of God is come to you. In what sense? Jesus manifesting the power of his kingship by ruling over the demons, ruling over death, ruling over sickness. Get the picture? When Jesus said, then on another instance, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. The heart, the soul, the mind, inner, spiritual. That's the understanding. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this age. He says, if my kingdom were of this world, if I was espousing an earthly kingdom with a real throne and a crown on my head and borders and walls and a castle and subjects under me, then would my servants fight? You see the distinction here. You've got a spiritual concept versus something that's earthly and physical. That I should not be delivered to you, to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Jesus' kingdom is within the hearts of his people. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now, you want to know whether you're a Christian? And again, I'm not going to ask this with the idea that you have to be sinless. We don't believe in sinless perfection. That's what the Methodists teach. That's what John and Charles Wesley, the founders of the Methodist denomination, taught that a Christian could reach a certain level of spirituality where they cease to sin. Yes, they taught that. It's called sinless perfection. It's also called full sanctification, that you have arrived at the train station where you never sin. Yeah. I'm not advocating that. I'm advocating this. Everyone that is of the truth, and if you claim to be a Christian, then you are claiming that you are holding that truth, heareth my voice. There's your assurance. When you read the scriptures, does it come across as if the Father is speaking to you personally? In the teaching and the preaching of God's word, when you sit in the pew, or if you're in a folded metal chair or a plastic chair, and someone is teaching, and there seems to be light bulbs going off in your head in the sense, yeah, I can see that. Okay, I never saw that before. Yeah, there it is, right there in print. I read it over and over, and now I can see fully what it's saying. Do you find your heart warmed to the words of your Heavenly Father? Is there a hunger for God's word? I'm not saying, do you do these things sinlessly? I'm saying, is that a reality in your life to any degree? Everyone that is of the truth. Here's an indicator. Am I of the world, or am I in the truth? Do you hear the shepherd's voice? In John chapter 10, Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. There's your assurance in one line. Again, I'm not asking you whether you do this 24/7, you know, you're like an engine that never stops. I'm saying, is that the overall bent? Is that the arching overall experience that you find when it comes to God's word? And then in verse chapter 38, oh my word, what a question. What's so funny is today, in 2026, the majority of people, even amongst Christians, don't even believe that there are absolute truths. Pilate saith unto him, can you imagine Pilate, the governor of the province of that part of the ancient Roman world, this was his turf, looking at God in the flesh, looking at the Creator who spoke all things into existence, Genesis chapter 1, looking at God and saying, what is truth? Pilate failed to realize that truth was personified and standing right in front of him. Right in front of him. Truth in the flesh. Right there. Talk about being blind. He said unto them, and when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. And now notice this. Notice this. Excuse me. Before Jesus went to the cross and before he was arrested, Jesus said on one occasion, the prince of this world has come. And he's looked deep within me, and he's found nothing. The devil looked very keenly into the soul of this Jesus of Nazareth and could find no sin. There's no imperfection in this person whom I am gazing upon. So the devil acknowledged Jesus' sinlessness. Pilate's wife, while the trial is going on, she comes from behind the curtains and whispers in her husband's ear, have nothing to do with this righteous man, for I have suffered many things last night in a dream concerning him. Pilate's wife acknowledges Jesus' sinlessness. The thief on the cross will get saved. These two guys initially chide Jesus, throw words in his mouth, mock him. If you be the Son of God, get us down from these crosses and save us. But the guy on the right said, whoa, time out. We deserve our death, but this man has done nothing worthy of death. This man agrees Jesus was sinless. Here, Pilate echoes the same thing. I find no fault in this man. And yet, due to political pressure and due to the moment of the hour, Pilate turns Jesus over to be killed, knowing in his gut this man was not worthy of this death. And then, at the moment when Jesus was about to expire, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Jesus gives up the spirit, gives up his ghost, returns to the Father. The flesh is dead. The body is dead. And then there was a mighty earthquake, and it rumbled. And the veil in the temple was split from top to bottom. And one of the Roman soldiers sees all these events, the ground opening up and shaking. And this soldier said, truly, this was the Son of God. Look at all the ones who testified that the one who died on that cross died innocent. But he bore the guilt of his people. Marvelous God. What a God. What a Savior. Now, you want an example of high treason? Verse 39. I think Pilate was hoping that he could have a little wiggle, some way of kind of, you know, But you have a custom that I should release one of you at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? The religious establishment, not the atheists, not the Greeks, not the Romans, that old ancient covenant nation way back yonder that said three times, all that the Lord says we will do. Oh, not this man. Oh, no, no. Away with him. Give us Barabbas. And then John goes one step further. This clown was a robber. Now let that sink. Jesus never robbed anyone. Can you hear those? What was Jesus thinking as a man when he heard from their lips, oh, not him. Give us the criminal. Give us the villain. Give us a child like us, a child of Satan, but not him. Now, to me, beloved, maybe I'm wrong. To Jesus, that was like an added poker in his chest. Not this man. Give us the criminal. That's high treason against the king. And so, beloved, I stand here this morning with no apologies. 40 years later, when the Roman armies destroyed that city and leveled it to the ground, killed millions, whereby the blood flowed in the streets to the point that it quenched out the fires, and bust a whole bunch of them back to Rome in chains and paraded them down Main Street there in Rome. Spoils of war. They murdered their king. And 40 years later, he came, not literally, but he came in judgment upon them. And he used pagans as his whipping pole or his stick. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.